Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We are excited to be here today with Czech-born and Berlin-based DJ and producer Theresa R, better known as Tigerhead. Tigerhead is influenced by old Detroit techno and acid and known for using many industrial sounds. In this conversation, we speak about how she ended up in Berlin, why music production was a rebellious act in her family, and also about things she hasn't been talking about before, such as being a mother to a today 5-year-old, and how that's been. Also touring and playing in clubs when being pregnant. This and much more. Let's get to it. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast. So, thinking that you have been pregnant or having a baby for 6 years then,
yeah.
If we look at your career,
yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Because it's been 6 years that you have been doing so much things, yes. And you've been touring, and you've been, you know, obviously managing to like not hide but like to not be public with this part of your life. How has it been to be a mother in the in the scene,
yeah,
and with this work? I mean,
yeah, that's a good question. And also you mentioned to be pregnant, because I played until I was 9 months pregnant, and I was fortunate it was not too visual.
Were you as a teenager?
So as a teenager, I would say I was a completely same person as I am now, but a little bit more confused and look in my right place, a little bit more chaotic, and but definitely the fundament of it is I was always a free person, and I was raised in very artistic surrounding. My both parents are visual artists, so I was kind of, you know, the free spirit was like the not the motto of our family, but it's just how I've been raised. So,
like, you are allowed to try your own ways in life, is that kind of it?
I have to say I was pretty much allowed to do everything, which was in the end was the best way how to raise me. I mean, I got burned many times, but then I learned by myself how to do it right. And
yeah, you said you were chaotic. In what way did you
I had a given way of who I'm supposed to be in the future, as it was like the family thing to be an artist. So they wanted to raise me as a painter and as a visual artist. And so I was not like a very, very focused person, like the future, you know, lawyers or doctors or something. I was pretty much like flying in my own mind, like a chaos in a head. Like I was finding the right place, but what was given was to be an artist or to find it in any sort of form of art.
Oh, and then how did you find music?
Yeah, so that was interesting because music was not the subject in our family. As I said, they were both, they are both my parents, visual artists. And like I said, I had a given way to be an artist, to be a painter or something that was like honor of our family. And to find a music was kind of like rebellion of me because my mother was the typical mother who didn't want to have any... you know, and a loudness around her. They were also both very introvertal and very quiet people. So I was pretty much, to me, it was pretty much forbidden to play any sort of instrument.
Oh,
yeah. I was more like to focus on art and to paint and to draw and to paint and to get better. And so that was a rebellious way. I got a guitar when I was 12 and I was singing.
You decided to get it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting it.
I decided.
Not drums, at least.
No drums, no. Like later in the Ableton, obviously.
Oh, but. Yeah, exactly. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But they accepted.
Oh, they had to.
Yeah.
I was, as soon as they found out how I love it and how I'm excited about music, and I never gave up, actually, because I gave up arts. I gave up visual arts back then, but music was like my passion, obviously. Yeah. So as soon as they saw it, this is something I really need to do and want to do, they had to let me.
Yeah, and it was pretty quickly you got into electronic music too, right?
I was about 16 years old, so, and my musical journey, well, that went from the age of 11 or 12 when I got my first instruments. I also learned how to play piano and guitar, and I was singing. So I had my bands, I had my punk bands, and my solo project is like guitarist and singer and stuff like that. And to get into electronic music was pretty much the development, to do the research, to listen of any sort of music there was, and to finding my own way and voice. And so at the age of 16, I kind of discovered electronic music, and that was it, you know.
And then how come you moved to Berlin? 11 years ago.
Exactly 11 years ago. I was at university and I was studying to be a painter, obviously, because there were no universities to study how to be a DJ or whatever, obviously. So this was something what I wanted.
A plan B.
It could be a plan B, even though I haven't practiced a long time. But
it's funny though, I never heard about someone having a plan B to become a painter.
there was still the plan A towards like the family stuff, you know. I was still like, well, you know, music was a hobby, obviously, for them. That must be a hobby. That's nothing serious, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had the other way around, and I had only plan A, and that was music. I just didn't communicate it anyone. So I was at a university, and I didn't like it. So I didn't like the way, I mean, you know, I didn't feel comfortable, so to say. And then, long story short, I met some people who were musicians, obviously. There was a lot of there was a big electronic scene where I was at the university back then. And so then I learned how to do that and stuff like that. And they were finishing the university. They were finishing the master studies, the group of people, like my friends. And I was at the beginning, I was at the first two semesters or something. And they said, okay, so we're going to Berlin to make our career because we're done here and we don't want to like stay here. And so you can maybe come to visit us or something. And I said, you know what, why don't I come with you just to, you know.
Have you always been spontaneous?
Yes. Like always, you know, and it had many consequences, but I kind of learned how to deal with that. So spontaneously, I quit. So to my parents, I said, I like interrupt the studies for 1 year and then I'm going to come back, obviously, you know. Like there were no, that there was no way I quit or something for music or to, you know, go with friends to Berlin to make career or something. So yeah, I quit and I never came back, obviously. And that was 11 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then how, if you look at the Berlin you met or you came to back then, how would you say it has shifted over the years?
I would say it was completely different. It could be also my perception of it. And it could be also, I was very young and I was like the beginner in Berlin or something. I lived in my dream world. And so this was the world of freedom, I would say, right? We were going to parties. I was like, I was learning how to play. I even though like back then when I was at the university and stuff, I already like practiced or whatever. It was just a completely new, different magic world. And it was a world of freedom. It was also a world without social media. I would say, I don't remember, I don't know how long is Facebook here, about 10 years, I would say whatever, but it was at the beginning. It was nothing I had on my friends. I had no Instagram, nothing.
Were you also late when it comes to social media trends?
I never got it. I'm there. I follow the rules. I pretty much understand that it's a necessary thing to do nowadays. And I do my thing, but I'm not completely there with my soul and stuff.
Yeah.
And back then it was just about the parties. It was just about the experience, just about to live at the moment. And even though it was like 11 years ago, I'm not talking about 20 years ago, it was even much, much better in the sense. But yeah, this is what I experienced.
Yeah. So do you think that your music shifted once you came to Berlin? And like what influenced you mostly?
I wouldn't say it changed completely because back then I come from Czech Republic and there the scene was not so big, obviously. It is still not, but they're like heading there. But it was all about techno back then and it was all about Detroit techno. They were the classic I you know, learned and I completely fell in love with. And this kind of continued in Berlin, but in a much bigger scale, I would say. So it was techno back then. It is still techno. It's just, you know, the form changed, but the...
Oh, so you really hanged on.
Yeah, well, techno since like I'm 17 or 16, 17. Techno.
Yeah. that's the Yeah, okay. And then you didn't obviously go back to art school.
No, I didn't. I got so hooked up on music that there was pretty much no time. And So painting is like kind of backup.
What did your parents say? Were they just like liking it?
Well, they were obviously completely against it because education, it was the first place. And also in my family. And that was pretty difficult way, but in my excitement and my youth and sort of like I managed to change their mind sooner or later because they thought it's just this dream, you know, as everyone's got a dream and they thought it's gonna like pass. But it never had, and now I suppose they're proud. Here and there, I tell them, okay, you see, I told you, and they're like, okay, you were right, you know, this kind of story.
Yeah, you said you did some, as you are a very spontaneous person, you also tried, like, you did some trial and error or something, like you walked on mines, you said.
Yeah.
Are there any things you'd like to share that you would like not do if you knew?
I wouldn't say this was in a, some, it w- this was not in a career level. This was on some sort of like personal basis. And I think everyone makes mistakes and we might share the same things, you know, about getting lost in Berlin, this typical cliche, stuff like that. But I never hang there too long. I kind of, so I spontaneous, I just followed my my heart, so to say. And so if there was something wrong, or if I was, like you said, walking on mines or something, I realized it pretty quickly. So it's like,
okay, so if you could go back and tell the younger you when you were new to Berlin, any tips? If we think more so when it comes to the music scene, is there anything you would tell you back like then?
Some advice to tell me.
Exactly.
To, there are this sort of questions in my head, but in the end, I think every step I took and every action I made made me to be who I am right now. Even though there were mistakes and not the right decisions and stuff like that, they all formed me to be a person to who I am now. And this is what I'm grateful for. So probably they were right. They were not that wrong.
So you wouldn't go back?
I think I wouldn't go back because I always learned from my mistakes and it's just made me be who I am and this is what matters and it never ended. We learn every day, right?
Definitely. Would you say that you're a good people knower? Like, can you read people? Do you feel that some of the minds you walked in has been trusting the wrong people, or would you say that you have always had a gut feeling that, you know, this is a good person?
I would say both. I would say it depends on the age, and I was, you know, in some age I was a little bit naive and stuff, but this also it is like that, you know. I couldn't be the most clever person and see through everybody back then, like 10 years ago or something. So I never crossed the line too far, I would say. Sooner or later you realize. But I also didn't depend on people. I was pretty much on my own, and there were people around me, but the only one I was mostly trust in was me.
Today, you live in a house outside Berlin and have a five-year-old son.
Yeah.
Which is something no one knows.
I don't share it, yeah.
No. Yeah, how did that happen? And
this happened that in a private life, I wouldn't say completely different person than I am in a public life, because it's still me. But I am a family person. There are so many things I don't share with the public because I also want to protect my private life. I'm not that often anymore because I also learn from that if you show too much, it could turn against you. And I just protect privacy of my son. But that happened. I just felt to be a mother, and I'm a mother, and I enjoy it.
Oh, amazing. But so thinking that you have been pregnant or having a baby for 6 years then, if we look at your career, it's pretty crazy because it's been 6 years that you have been doing so much things and you've been touring and you've been, you know, obviously managing to not be public with this part of your life. How has it been to be a mother in the in the scene with this work? I mean,
yeah, that's a good question. And also you mentioned to be pregnant, because I played until I was 9 months pregnant, and I was fortunate. It was not too visual, because I mean, to be honest, it looks weird. I mean, I have to say, like, aesthetically, it's weird to be a pregnant DJ or something. It was not something I was like showing off, but it was something,
not having the bikini.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. I was, and I enjoyed that, and I was capable to continue my work after several discussions with doctors, but I was pretty young.
Yeah.
That was no problem. So I managed to cover it in a decent way, but not to hide it. That's something I was like proud of. But I was not too big. I was just looking the same, just with a little person in my belly. So if you take a big hoodie, it's not a problem. And the decks are hiding it a bit. So, but I played till I was 9 months pregnant. I think 3 weeks before the birth, I played in about blank, and it was great. And also the first boiler room I did, I was pregnant, and no one knows. This is the first, and
everyone's gonna go back and watch it now.
Yeah, but it was just like this big, this big. So it was completely not completely early on. It was not visible, and I felt
we see you hide suddenly and throw up in the bin.
No, it was just nothing. I was completely fine, I have to say. I was totally fortunate. There was nothing wrong with me.
Easy pregnant.
Kind of. Yeah, sure. So okay. Boiler room, no one knows that there were some live streams. Frauengedeck, that was in the Euer Records. There was also huge, but it was just not visible. I was lucky.
Wow. But I mean, there must have been some things that have been, because it's compromising with the time you spend with your son.
Yes.
Also. So has there been any, like, also, I mean, I guess it's different when being a mom compared to being a dad, not only because of the pressure of society, but also because you may be breastfeeding and these things that makes you have to stay more with your child.
Yeah, that's a very good question too. I mean, so we talked about the pregnancy, and that's not the most difficult part, you know. That's just something physical. Yeah, but and then when I became mother, it changed everything. It changed absolutely everything, and I had to learn again step by step how to handle my job and, you know, my career and my passion with this thing. And it also became very, very hard, like mentally, like, you know, like music was my passion, but there I have this little person, like the biggest responsibility and the biggest love. So who comes first? And obviously the decision is clear. But
music. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I was kidding.
I mean, you can combine.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult. I have to say, I couldn't imagine how it's gonna be. And I had to learn how to deal with that, how to please everyone. And in this case, that there was not pretty much time for me anymore and to develop personally and like mentally. I was just like jumping from one thing to another. But through the years, I learned how to handle both. And
yeah, how did you do that? Or how do you handle both?
There are like phases in this way. So when you have a baby, there's pretty much just like basic things the baby needs, and you manage. I'm not the only working mother, you know. There are many ways how to manage. That was not that difficult. It became difficult when he understood what I do, and what I do means that I'm away from him kind of often. And this was the hardest part, and still is. This is now the time when he tells me that, that every moms are home at the weekend and I'm the only one who's away, and why, and, you know, and don't go away and please stay with me and stuff like that. So this is now the time, which is probably the most difficult, from the pregnancy to baby to whatever, like actually the mental aspect of it,
the mental aspect. I can imagine to feel guilty and to feel like maybe, I don't know,
yeah,
it's a lot, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot. But then I say, okay, maybe one day he's gonna be proud of me, maybe one day he's gonna turn it to something positive, and he's gonna say, mom, did something special, and I'm grateful to have this in my life, but he needs time as well.
He's gonna have the most awesome mom and come with you when he's 18 or whatever and be like, make up for the lust.
When he's 18, I'm gonna be
weekends
older, yeah. So I'm gonna be really wishing I can keep work how I do right now.
I'm sure. No problem. Yeah. Or you mean like wish because you may want to do something else, or wish because you...
That's totally in the stars. I mean, no. I mean, I...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I love it, and I continue to do what I love. There are still no plan. There is still no plan B or something. But obviously, it's physically and mentally very, very difficult job to do. And especially with the motherhood, it's even more difficult for many reasons. So I just hope I'm going to be as strong as I am now to continue in a most healthy way. Yeah.
Yeah. How many days a month do you normally play? Like, do you have a max imum?
No.
Or do you just
go
with the flow?
I go with the flow. I have to say that comes back to it, to be spontaneous, or to talk to my agent and say, she's gonna kill me, and say, please, I need to work. Give me as much work as there is, because I love it. I have to. That's a little, you know, workaholic thing. And then, okay, no problem. Then I've got this package, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I don't know. I just learn by doing.
Yeah, sounds great. If we look some more into your music, you have a studio in your house. Could you take us with you on your production journey? Like, when entering the studio, is there anything you need? Like, do you always bring a snack, or do you always produce in the morning, or, you know, like, how does it work?
I always produce in the morning from logistical reasons, because of kindergarten and stuff. So I have time only every day from 9 in the morning till like 2 p.m. which is a bit difficult because I'm not a morning person, you know. So logistically you have to handle everything, and this is the only time I have free, actually, or free. I have to work, I have to do something, I have to produce something.
The caffeine addiction is
coffee addiction
there.
that's the only thing I need. There is like 2-3 coffees. That there's, as you ask what I need or what I always have with me, it's simple. It's always coffee. Coffee and water. And I try my best to be creative in a time when my body is not really awake, and also the body works at weekends in completely different times. So you have to adapt, and you have to do maximum you can, which is not every day, but you can say, I've been there, I tried, and there are new days.
Yeah. But when do you ever go to the studio and you are like, I don't feel inspired at all?
Oh yeah.
And if so, do you have any way on how to like trigger your mind into new creative ways?
This happens very often, I have to say. I don't know how is it with other people, and I also don't know how is it what people share to the public, and what is really like the inner
struggle
or truth. But I have this very often, because There are many, many things in my mind also to how to actually handle the everyday life and how to handle the weekends and stuff, that the inspiration, like 10 years ago, I was like full of it, you know, because you're free on your own. You're just with yourself and you swim in your mind, and there's just, you know, a lot of inspiration and influences and stuff. But in the everyday life, I have to force myself, right? And I have to also force myself, like it's part of the job. It's job and I have to do it good, and this is what I have to deliver. So with inspiration, without inspiration, if I produce some track and it's not good, it's at least like practice. It takes me to other dimensions. And what I do to find the inspiration is when there's really nothing and I cannot force myself, I start to read books and go to concerts. I love classical music, actually. That's my... I love classical music.
Oh, me too. And piano.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'm obsessed. Yeah, so. Okay, nice. Do you feel that that inspires you? Like... I was going to ask, how do you, like, do the connection between that? But maybe that's really hard to explain.
I think... I find inspiration to produce electronic music in other sort of influences but electronic music. So to be good in this, I try to get as far away from it as possible, to not be in some sort of like box, you know, to not be like in a bubble. Mm. So I try to listen to every sort of different genres of music to get inspiration. Like I say, read the books, which has pretty much nothing in common with electronic music, like, and to kind of open my mind to make it work, to make it think again. And I find inspiration in everything, in nature and people.
Yeah. How do you work with goal setting, then, would you say? Because that's also combined in some way.
So there were times when I set my goals and I have to say I reached them, but it was very hard. And I would say you put some sort of pressure on you, which is, actually changing the natural flow of it. I would say, so setting goals is a good thing, but in a, like, not to the fullest, because if you set your goal, you follow only one path, but you are now restricted and maybe you close your mind from any other like influences which might help you or something. And you tend to be very hard on yourself. And if you do not reach the goal, you punish yourself for it. And you, or me, I would say, I'm talking about myself, obviously. And, it's not the right way for me. The right way for me is, again, to be spontaneous and to live and to feel and to be open to the new ways which are like coming to me. And they are the ways from outside are setting the goals. I follow the path, I think, naturally.
Yeah, I think this is so... I feel the same. Like if you punish yourself with speaking badly about how you're handling it, or that you're not doing what you should or what you're supposed to, or you're not creating like something that you feel is the right standard or good, then you block yourself.
Yes, right? Yes, exactly.
And then it's definitely no, no creating anything.
It works with other people, but it doesn't work.
Such a mental work.
Yeah.
So you, how do you work with that? Like being nice to yourself and like opening up. Now we go to the psychological part.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk for hours. Yeah, I learned through the years how to be good with myself, how to forgive myself, how to love myself, how to... It is a certain aspect which doesn't work with me to be maybe it comes from the family and from back then. Obviously, it always is connected to everything. How you live, with everything's connected with the past. And with me, it just doesn't work to punish myself constantly. Exactly like you say, I block myself, and then I'm angry, and I either make it wrong or not make it at all. I just need things with love and harmony and peace. And
but did you go to a psychotherapist to deal with, you know, how you speak to yourself and these things, or you just like dealt with it yourself?
I dealt with it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never was. I mean, I visited once at times, like back then when I was like very lost, and so I said, okay, maybe there is a way, maybe there is some help for it. And we didn't understand each other. I said, okay, I'm talking about different things. You're not the right one. Okay. And then I said, I tried by myself. There is no time for that.
Okay. But are you more so like, would you say that you would choose more the cycle? If we think like maybe you read some books, or maybe you like, you know, there are so many ways to find help without a human being sitting in front of you. Mm-hmm. But would you say that you choose the more psychological way or the spiritual way in this sense?
I would say psychology and the spiritual world are like together. There, it's one thing. It's like a part of psychology, which is... So I am very spiritual being. I have to say, it's also from my family and from my grandmother, which was even, I never met her, even though she was alive when I was a child, but there was several reasons, no opportunity. But what I learned was that she was even like some sort of like gifted woman who people in the town knew about. So we're talking about like 80 years ago or something, or 70 years ago, and people were coming to her to she was some sort of like psychic, she was some sort of like medium, and back then it was very popular. It was nothing to
Phyllis, I think.
Yeah, it was nothing to laugh about. She was a very deep person, and so I've been told that I'm like my grandmother, you know. I have several how to say ways how to live without controlling it. So the spiritual way, this is something what I'm very, very interested in. I read a lot of books about it. I'm very interested in every kind of spiritualism. But like I said, I also don't close it to some sort of like study or something. I always follow my path and my mind and kind of what I learned from it.
Wow. I don't know, but I feel it's nothing no one laughs about. It's more so mm-hmm. something many people, and they feel more and more people are mm-hmm. admiring and you know, want to, because life is going at a higher speed every year.
Yes.
So people are like finding ways on how to cope with that. Yes. And then I think the spiritual path is something that many people are, but do you meditate and these things?
No. I also have to say, like you said, like the world is fast. This is exactly the problem. And this is so to say, we are all like spiritual human beings. We are all born completely naked and completely like open and completely pure. And so who are we now? We are either formed of the society, we are formed from society or from the lifestyle. We are people, we are formed from the surrounding where we live, and we are formed from parents. We are a little bit like puppets, a victim of the lifestyle or something. If you want to come back to who you are, I think exactly you have to like follow your way back to who you were, where you were born, and because you know what I mean.
That's also really interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But it's also
I was getting lost, but
no, but
hopefully it makes sense.
It made me think about that we think we evolve and change so much, but we're basically the same people we were when we were kids.
Yeah.
This, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, often when you think about your friends who you've known a long time, you're like, they're exactly the same.
Okay.
You don't think?
Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, we are who we are. But to, I was just trying to say not to get crazy from the world, which is crazy. We have to, exactly, we have, you said it right, like, to stay kids, this is the way, like, to stay pure and have the fantasy and don't follow the rules that
be
much.
Be playful.
Yeah, be playful. Very good. Yeah, very good. Yes.
No, but yeah. So, do you think that also having your kid helped you with staying connected to your inner child?
Yes, that helped me a lot.
Really?
Yeah, it changed my life completely. And I learned so many things from it. So to have kid, it means not to be you anymore. Not to be there for you anymore. Like to be there for this like innocent creature. And for this, you have to like purify yourself, really. You have to, because you're responsible and you're raising the, I wouldn't say next generation, obviously it is, but you're raising somebody. I mean, he didn't have choice to be here, and you're very responsible to just do absolutely best to make a great person out of him. Mm-hmm. And a great person of meaning to be like, not even happy, to be in harmony, and you know what I mean?
Learn how to deal with emotions and
everything.
There are so much things to learn in life.
Yes, absolutely. But you're the one who like shows the way a little bit, who, you know, obviously as a parent.
Yeah.
And this is the way when I realized, oh God, I'm so far away from being perfect. I have to like very like calm down first and to learn who I am and to learn what can I give to him, to the future, and to come. This is the problem of the ego, to go away as far as possible from the ego and to really live like naturally and behave naturally and just be there for him. And I had to completely restart my personality, so to say, to be a good mother and good person.
Ah, and you noticed that early on in your motherhood.
Yeah, it's also a very natural thing, I would say, actually. Like, your body changes, your mind changes, and it's a cliche, but it's like this, you know. Yeah, so it was also a very natural way to do. I mean, it's a responsibility.
Okay, yeah, it is a responsibility for sure. But do you have any, like, spiritual practices that you do to like be in tune with that part of yourself?
No, I mean, you ask if I meditate. I tried a few times. I tried yoga and stuff like that. And I would say the interpretation of the Western world of yoga meditation is something completely different than it is in its origins.
Yeah, I heard this.
So, but I was not fortunate enough to travel to India, for example, or South America. I've been, but for music, which is incredible and unforgettable. But I was there for a very short time, not to get into the spiritual and to...
No, I have time for ayahuasca.
Yeah. No. I'm a very beginner with that. And I read a lot.
Yeah.
This is my way. And I... have my dreams to, but not goals. So either it happens or it doesn't happen. You know,
love that. More dreams. Okay. Oh. Do you have any specific dreams that you'd like to share with us for this coming year? This new year, I mean.
Again, there are many dreams on you know, personal level, on career level, and This was connected to the spiritualism as we were talking about. So let's put it to this, like, my dream is to obviously travel to its origins and to meet the original people and learn the real way, so to say. Yeah.
To evolve.
Yeah, to evolve, yeah.
Good goal. Or dream.
Yeah.
We have now come to the part of the podcast where if you're a Patreon, you'll get to listen to the extra material where Tigerhead speaks about social media's impact on the scene and how she feels about all that, as well as what she wishes for the scene in the future and much more. Go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine.
Yeah, okay, we're on the same topic. So what do you think is like the mean? This is so philosophical. Mm. We're getting there.
Unfortunately.
I love it though. But yeah, what do you think is the meaning of life?
Okay. I don't know. And I don't think anything about it, to be honest. There were times in my life when I exactly got philosophical about it, and where do we come from? Why are we here? Stuff like that. So after the years, I came to nothing, and not even me, no one knows. So I rather live and don't think about pretty much anything, because also thoughts, this is something what comes from us, this is something personal, this is something very subjective. So I don't have any thought and any opinion about it. I just know that I'm here right now and I do what I can, and I have no idea.
That's basically how I think. But I think also it's to find what makes your heart beat and just do that and follow that lead.
Which we can come back to music for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yeah.
It's either this or it's that. This is this or that.
Introvert or extrovert?
Introvert.
Like your parents.
Like me.
Like you.
Yeah, I am.
True. But you said your parents are also introverts.
Yeah, so this was...
Yeah. I was just curious because I don't know. Maybe you are influenced by where you come from in this sense to some point also. Night in or night out?
Night in.
It comes along with the first question. Red wine or beer?
White wine.
White wine. Oh. Cold white wine or like with a little ice cube in?
No. If so it's a good specific wine, then.
Okay.
Okay, wine. Red wine.
Yeah, this one we kind of talked about, like psychology or spirituality?
Both.
Combined.
Yeah, it's one thing for me.
Yeah, big festival crowd or intimate club gig?
Intimate club.
Hip-hop or heavy metal?
Hip-hop, if I have to choose.
White toast or sourdough bread?
White toast.
Oh, casual. Love it. Tinder or a random meeting in the bar?
Random meeting in a bar, for sure.
Facts or fiction? Fiction.
Fiction?
Black and white or colors all the way?
Black and white.
Last one. Teaching others or being taught?
Being taught.
Yeah?
Yes.
You like to evolve, so it goes together with that.
I like to learn. Mm. And I'm not confident enough to say I can teach others. Yet. In what I learned.
So even in music production,
I can share my experiences, but I wouldn't call it to teach someone. I would call it to share something.
Would you do like a master class?
I could. Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah,
it doesn't come along with the introvertal part, but of course, it's a part of the job. So.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
It was very nice here. Thank you.
So lovely.
Thank you.
Yay.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe, and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists, or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.